The question was asked, being that tefillah, prayer, is personal, so why are we instructed to daven in a minyan? Why are we instructed to daven together? So being that the basis for the question is my own comment, that sometimes I feel like I have to go, right? So I just want to address that as a child, I remember once pulling at my father and saying, look at that funny man, look at how funny he is when he's davening. And my father said to me, you have no right to do that. And my father is a very liberal person, meaning there's very little that my father told me you have no right to do. So it was a chiddush to me when my father said that. So I said, why? So my father said to me, davening is personal. And when a person comes to shul, you have to respect his ability to have a personal conversation with the Ribbono Shel'olam, even though he's standing next to you. You don't have a right to look at the faces he's making while he's talking to the Ribbono Shel'olam. That's a, just as a perspective. I'm saying it's a perspective I was taught as a child. Not to invade people's privacy. Some people put a talis over their head. Some people find a corner where they can daven. And even when a person davens b'tzibur, in public, people can also have their own private prayer, and people should. People should. People should try to find time to go out into the woods or to go to wherever they're inspired or to the Kotel and have their own personal prayer. So why did Chazal institute prayer as a mass, in mass? So there are multiple components to prayer. We have been discussing until now the component of me representing myself and my needs in prayer. Chazal instructed us that we're supposed to look at ourselves as a part of a greater whole. There are conflicting philosophies in the world. If you go to the Far East, so there's a major stress on the greater good, right? They admire a person who gives up their life for everyone else. Be a kamikaze, right? The Far Eastern philosophy of the greater good being so important that it outweighs the personal good, that's why it's completely legitimate if the Chinese government will execute a person because he made a mistake that cost the Chinese government $1 million, right? So it's understandable. They kill him, right? It's that simple. Same thing in Russia. Okay, so in Russia, it's one philosophy. In the Far East, it's a different philosophy. You hurt the greater good, of course you should die. And it's an honorable death, right? It makes a lot of sense. You go to the United States, you go to Western civilization, it's the exact opposite. What's in it for me? The whole government has to serve me, right? The individual rights, right? The whole government is there to guarantee the rights of the individual. So there's a philosophy that goes to the opposite extreme. It's to ensure the individual rights, and everyone has a right to sue, and you have a very litigant culture where people are suing one another all the time because it's my rights, and don't you dare take my rights. And they sue the government, and that's considered okay. Right? So that you have the opposite extreme. And when you look at Torah, you see a different concept. You see a concept that the greater good of the mass is important, and the rights of the individual are also important. And the Torah gives us a balance between the two. The Torah tells us every person has rights, and every person's rights have to be protected, and the courts are called Elohim. They're an extension of God. They're supposed to ensure that people's rights are protected. And they are the hand of God on earth, so to speak. And that's why courts get the name Elohim. You live on planet Earth, you need a certain system to ensure your rights are protected, and courts are given a tremendous honor because of that. However, there's also the concept that I'm responsible for everyone. I'm not just living for myself. There's a phenomenal concept of our responsibility for the greater good. So much so that our Shmona Esrei begins for the first 19 blessings talking about everyone, not about me. My whole Shmona Esrei is not about me. Think about the wording of Shmona Esrei. It's all using Lashon Rabim. The whole Shmona Esrei is talking about the masses. Refa'einu, right? The Hasidim say Refa'eini. But really, they also mean Refa'einu, heal us, right? Choneinu meitrecha, give us knowledge, right? Rebuild Jerusalem. Shma koleinu, hear our pleas, right? It's all about us. It's not all about me. It's about us. Prayer, on some level, is also supposed to elevate us, that prayer is not just a representation of what I want. My prayer should be a representation of me as a part of the greater whole. There is a place in prayer for me to express myself. In every blessing, I'm supposed to express myself. But Chazal also told us, Le'olam ye'arev adam, a person should always include his needs within the greater needs of everyone else. Let's take an example. You're traveling, and you do what I did once. You make a wrong turn. Suddenly, you're surrounded by people who don't speak Hebrew. They only speak Arabic, and they're pointing at you. And you see a bunch of youngsters starting to scramble to get rocks, and you realize, uh-oh, I made a wrong turn. Now what? So you try to get out of there as fast as you can, and you're not even sure who to ask directions from, right? And what? We have a special prayer, Tfilas Aderech. So I'm not going to pray that. I have to focus on my driving. But the others in the car can pray that. So what's the prayer going to be? Tfilas Aderech. So the Gemara initially says, what's Tfilas Aderech? Yiratzon milfanech Hashem lokenu lokei avoteinu. May it be your will, Hashem, our God and the God of our forefathers. Shetolicheini leshalom. Guide me in peace. V'tatzideini leshalom. Make my footsteps go in peace. Right? And then the Gemara says, wrong. The Gemara says, don't talk only about yourself. There are other people traveling. You're a part of the greater good. There are a lot of people that need to make it out in peace. Just switch it. Shetolicheinu leshalom. But what if I'm traveling alone? You're still praying for everyone. The concept, even within prayer, Chazal wanted us to recognize, even when I'm asking for my own needs, it should be as a part of a greater good. Remember we began with the concept? There are those that put the stress only on the greater good. There are those that put the stress on the individual. And Torah says, take both. Take both. Your prayer has to have both. Prayer has to be both a recognition of what does everyone need and a recognition of what do I need. I'll give you a funny example of that. As a kid, it really bothered me. We come to Yom Kippur and we say, forgive us Hashem. And then we start listing a bunch of things. And I always felt like, I didn't do that. Come on, there are things there that I just didn't do. I know what I did do and didn't do. There's a whole long list of things that you say, forgive me for, and I didn't do that. Right? So, right, because I'm not only talking about me. If you look at it, we're talking about, as a Jewish people, we're asking forgiveness. And I'm so the idea of praying with the masses represents the idea that our prayer is not only about me. My needs are within the needs of everyone else. Even when I'm praying, when I'm on a journey, on my journey. But there are other people who are on a journey. And then we have the idea that we're taught that Hashem says, when you pray as part of the greater whole, then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm not going to look at you so exactingly and say, does he deserve to get what he wanted? Because he didn't just ask for himself. He made a request for the greater good. So the greater good might get it. So those are the concepts we see. And it says that when you pray with a minyan, everyone's merits unite. That Hashem says, okay, if they all deserve to get their prayers answered, then they will. It's not only you standing opposite the king. So those are the three angles we're taught.